Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee, Israel's strength and consolation. Hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
So we are going to sing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which Samuel just gave us a little prelude to. And did I get your minds set in gear for this? In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall come and conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Scripture comes to King Ahaz, who was king of Judah, through the prophet Isaiah. And this is a time during in Jerusalem when it was a time of turmoil. And Israel was battling against Jerusalem, along with Syria. And Ahaz had a heart of disbelief. And the Lord was interested in telling Ahaz about his plans. And Ahaz still didn't believe him. And the Lord said, ask me a sign. And Ahaz said, I wouldn't tempt the Lord. But he was being pious because the Lord already knew in his heart he did not believe. And so we need to have a heart of belief that the Lord has a plan. And the Lord did have a plan for Judah to save Jerusalem. And he did in those days, at that time. And he will again, because he has showed us through his son, Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Born in lonely lands.
he stepped from heaven's holy throne to take a body like our own, with love so great in manner meek, for sinners Jesus came to seek.
Christ lived a humble, blameless life, yet men in hatred caused him strife. Among the thieves they nailed him high, though we deserve that death to die. On bended knee we bow to you, Redeemer, Savior, Lord and King. Now run to us, Lord Jesus Christ, thankful eyes and humbled hearts. When Jesus died, the darkness fell, as if creation could not tell if it would ever once more shine the glories of the King divine. When Christ arose, just as he said, he crushed our sin and Satan's head. The light of Jesus' empty grave proves Christ our Savior came to save. On bended knee we bow to you, Redeemer, Savior, Lord and King. Now grant to us, Lord Jesus Christ, thankful lives and humbled hearts. No more a servant, now our King. He rules now over everything, robed in his garments free from stains. We worship him who ever reigns. On bended knee we bow to you, Redeemer, Savior, Lord and King. Now grant to us, Lord Jesus Christ, thankful lives and humbled hearts. Now grant to us, Lord Jesus Christ, thankful lives and humbled hearts.
Amen. to hymn number 91, the first Noel. Hymn number 91.
Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lot the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come rich and poor, or to own him, the King of Kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the Son of Mary.
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were given, o'er the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray, of a cross that would humble a king. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus saw exchange for the cross of Calvary, of a divine suffered loss. For my sin he bore the cross. He was wounded and I was set free.
Stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall. Who is he in distress, fasting in the wilderness? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Who is he the people bless for his words of gentleness? Who is he to whom they bring all the sick and sorrowing? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all.
Who is he that stands and weeps at the grave where Lazarus sleeps? Who is he the gathering throng greet with loud triumphant song?
'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Lo, at midnight, who is he? Praise in dark Gethsemane. Who is he on yonder tree? Dies in grief and agony. 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all.
Who is he that from the grave comes to heal and help and save? Who is he that from his throne rules through all the world alone? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet
like for you, if you would, for a few moments to forget about Christmas here in 2017. And if you would, try to go back in your minds 2,700 years ago. There was a nation that was in great trouble. And this particular nation had passed the golden age of its history. And you could say that at that period of time in this nation's history, it was in a period of decline. All around, there was a threat of foreign invasion. And the leadership of this particular country was not very good. They were unbelievers. And I'm sure you're probably aware that that was the nation of Israel in the time of the prophet Isaiah. And I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn, if you would please, to Isaiah chapter 8. We'll start in chapter 8. Isaiah ministered to the people of his day many, many years ago at this period of time that was very dark. Even though God sent the prophet Isaiah to speak his word to the people of Israel, for the most part, the people of Israel had turned away from God's word. And when the people of Israel had a problem, they were not going to God's word. They were going to spirits and wizards. They were going into the occult practices. And in Isaiah chapter 8, we see the allusion to that. Verse 19 says, "When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have the familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." You know, that's a result of what happens when we don't go to God's word. When we turn away from God's word, the same thing happens in our own lives. The same thing happens in the life of our country. And the result of doing that is the same result that was in Isaiah's day and that he tells to us. And that was darkness. At the end of chapter 8, we see that described there in verse 22. "They shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness and dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." And so that was the situation in the life of Isaiah and the life of Israel. It was a very dark, dark time. But in the midst of that dark time, God sent a message through the prophet Isaiah that was a message of hope. God was committed to the promise that he had given to Israel, and he wanted to tell them about what he had in store for them in the future. And that's what we read about in Isaiah chapter 9 here. And we see there, look at verse 2 in chapter 9, Isaiah 9 verse 2. In spite of all this darkness, God says to this people, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." We can go to the New Testament and see where that was fulfilled. Matthew chapter 4. We see Jesus beginning his public ministry, and he goes to the place that is described here in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. He begins his ministry in this very location, the same location that would be the area where the Assyrians would come in, great darkness in that land. This was the location that Jesus began his ministry, Capernaum. It was this location. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And Matthew tells us, that was the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Who was it that brought light to that land? It's Jesus Christ. And then Isaiah goes on to describe some of the other great victories that God would give to Israel. He compares them to the victories that he gave over Midian. Remember the judge, Gideon, and the victory, supernatural victory over the Midianites. That's the kind of victory that God is promising to Israel in the future. And somebody might come and say, why is this? How is this that God will give this tremendous hope to this people in Israel? How is it that that will happen? Why is it that that will happen? The prophet Isaiah tells us the reason why for all this hope that he's talking about, and that is a very, very familiar passage there in verse 6, Isaiah 9, verse 6. Here's the reason. For, that's why. That's why all this is going to happen. For, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. You can imagine what the people that heard the prophet Isaiah would have thought when they heard that. A child? Unto us a child is born? Is that really how all this great hope is going to come to pass? A child? You know, that's how God determined in his plan that he would give hope. He would send a human child. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, when each of our four children were born, my wife and I had to determine what name we were going to call them. And I think if I remember correctly, for the first two girls that we had decided on a name before the birth. And that was what we were going to call them. And I think if I remember correctly, for the second two, we did name them within a period of time after they were born. And what are we going to call this baby? I don't know. We got to think about this. And we came up with a name after they were born. But, you know, anybody that has a child and that gives them a name doesn't really know what they're like until they get to know them. And, you know, with my children, I'm still getting to know my children and their personalities and what they are really like. When a baby is born into this world, we get to know them after they're born. But that's not how it is with this child. This child is described here, his character is described here in this verse, hundreds of years before his birth. 700 years before his birth, God tells the prophet Isaiah what this child will be like here. And in this description, we see the reason why he is the hope, why he will bring light here. We're told that he is called Wonderful. He's called Wonderful. His character will be wonderful. Probably at some point in the Christmas season here, you'll go to somebody's house, or maybe you'll fix a meal, and maybe you have some family over, and perhaps somebody will say to the person that cooked the meal, "Hey, that was a wonderful meal. That was great. That was superb, a wonderful meal." And, we use that word wonderful in that way. But that's not quite how the Bible uses that word wonderful. What does it mean when the Bible calls something wonderful? You know, it means something that is beyond human capability. Only God can do wonders. And as good as that meal is, probably somebody else can make a good meal too. But only God can do that which is wonderful, which is beyond any human capability. When Moses was writing his song after God delivered his people at the Red Sea, he used this word in Exodus And he says in Exodus 15:11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Moses saw that only God could do wonders. Only God was the one who sent that deliverance and held back the waters of the Red Sea. That was a wonder. And this child will be wonderful. He will be able to do what no other man is able to do. And we see that he's called Counselor. Any high-ranking political position, or you even think of our president, they all have people around them. They have a cabinet that is composed of men that give them counsel. And they advise them on the proper action of their plans, to how to set the agenda there. And we're told in the Bible of people that had counselors. Mentioned Moses. Moses had a counselor, his father-in-law. And the Bible tells us that Jethro came and gave Moses counsel. Here's what you need to do in this situation with leading these people. But this child, he won't need any counselors. He won't need anybody coming to him and say, "Hey, here's what we think you should do. Here's the way you should set your plan." No, because he is counselor. He'll be able to set his own plans. He has the plan to set. And we're told in Isaiah, in chapter 11, verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God." You know, if those first two descriptions aren't enough for us, here's the third one. It should be enough just in those first two to know who he is. But notice that third description of this child's character, the mighty God. The mighty God. Isaiah tells us that this child is a human. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. But Isaiah also tells us that this child is divine. The mighty God. The mighty God. John chapter 1, verse 1 reminds us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We have this child, God, come in flesh, the mighty God. That is who he is, not just a human, but the mighty God who's able to give hope and light to the nations of the world. And then we see he's also the everlasting Father. We know that Jesus and God the Father are distinct from each other, and yet the Bible also tells us they are one. They share the nature of God. But as Isaiah is writing to this people, we remember that one of the ways that people thought of their leaders, of even their leaders in government, was as a father. Now, we don't think about our president being a father to us, or our governor being a father to us, but back in Bible times, they did think that way. And verses in the Bible talk about leaders in Israel, one Eliakim in Isaiah 22:21. And it says there, "He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah." Even Job thought about the way that he had treated people and said in Job 29:16, "I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out." And so we think about this child being one who is a leader of the government here of Israel, being a father, one who would take care of them, one who would look out for them, even as a political leader. And so this child is the everlasting Father. And then the final description here of his character is given at the end of verse 6, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Our world has always looked for a leader that will be able to produce peace in the world. It's never found one yet. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will be a world leader that will produce peace. And the nation of Israel, here at this particular time in Isaiah's day, was not at peace. They were worried about what was going to happen with Assyria. And the king was looking to Egypt to as a source of help there. But Isaiah comes and says, there's going to be a child that's born. He's going to get rid of all this darkness, and he's going to be a prince of peace, even for Israel. And, you know, Israel is still not at peace, even to this day. And we were all encouraged to hear about what happened with the decision of our president to make Jerusalem the recognized capital there in Israel. And, you know, even though that happened, people were worried about the reaction. Was there going to be peace? Was there going to be fighting more because the United States was doing that? But you know, there's coming a day when even Israel will be at peace. And it's because of Jesus Christ, who will be ruling, and I believe ruling in Jerusalem. He'll be ruling in Jerusalem, not just as the capital of Israel, but the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will rule in Jerusalem as the capital of the entire world. We see in Zechariah chapter 8, the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. And Zechariah 14:9 says, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall there be one Lord, and his name one. The Prince of Peace. The world will see that one day. The world will see Jesus Christ ruling and reigning upon this earth, even from Israel, from Jerusalem. And what will bring that to pass here in verse 7? We're reminded of how that will come. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Then notice this at the end of verse 7. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We can hardly imagine Jesus Christ ruling and reigning here on this earth. How will that come to pass? Will Donald Trump bring it to pass? No. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It will happen. Jesus Christ will be the prince, the ruler of the world, producing peace over this entire earth. You know, the prophet Isaiah tells us here in these verses of something that is going to happen even in the future from our perspective. Really, we have a gap of time here in Isaiah 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And that little space you see in your Bible after the word given, that's where we live right now. We know this prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And the other words of that prophecy, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's still coming. That's still coming in the future. Jesus Christ would rule and reign upon this earth. But I want to remind you this morning, just as there was darkness in the life and times of the prophet Isaiah, there's great darkness in our time here today. And that's because people have turned away from God. People have turned away from God's word. But God's promise is that through Jesus Christ, each one of us can have light in our lives. Jesus is the light of the world. We have the light of truth here before us. And Jesus even himself said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. In John 12:46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This morning, if you will come to Jesus Christ and believe on him, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God will give light into your life. And that's a promise we have from God that we can believe here. Each one of us needs to come and accept that Jesus is the source of that light. And he is this child that was prophesied by Isaiah. that will come even in the future as a ruler, as a prince that will give peace to the world. Would you bow your heads this morning? Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help our focus today to be on Jesus Christ. Help us, each of us, to come to know who Jesus Christ is. We see these descriptions of his character in the Scripture. Help us all to know and understand that these are true, and that this refers to Jesus. And we pray that we would know that, but not just know that. Help us, Lord, to love Jesus Christ and to trust him with our souls, that our lives would be filled with light, that we would not be wandering in darkness like many people of Isaiah's day, like many people are in the world today. Help us, Lord, to come to the light, to come to Jesus Christ, that we might have salvation. We thank you, Father, for sending Christ into the world. We look forward to that future time when he will rule and reign on this earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to take your hymnal and turn to number 87. Let's stand as we